Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Yeah.
Right. Welcome to another episode of Wake the Bear Radio.
Riders on the Storm.
That's the name of our show tonight.
Riders on the Storm.
We're watching our co-host, Ron Powers, out on the Monterey Bay, and a big storm is exciting.
Yep. Don't hear the storm. Ride them. And there's a big storm. Our theme is storms, and it seems like on both sides of the aisle, people are talking about storms, so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. There's a lot of stuff. I'm really excited about what we're going to cover tonight, because there's been a lot actually in the news, and so good way to start. This weekend, it's good to see you guys. I ran into you, Brandon, on Sunday afternoon. At the Biblical Citizenship at the Regeneration Church. It's a church that neither of us go to regularly, so it's nice to run into you.
Yeah, it was a really great class, good group of people, really learning a ton. I'm just always amazed that the Biblical Citizenship class, the amount of content that they cover so quickly. This one was, I think, Understanding the Times, and David Barton was just talking about the significance of finding truth. Like, you've got to actually find it, then you've got to speak it and stand for it, and you need to protect it. And wow. It was really well done. He just talked about, it's hard to find truth these days, because even the way that the algorithms work on Google versus like DuckDuckGo and some of the search engines, you can't find certain content. And so really, if you want to be a truth teller these days, you have to really want the truth, you know? And the Bible says, they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free, right? So truth sets people free. That's one of the reasons why we started Wake the Bear Radio, right, Chris? We started Wake the Bear to set people free.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I know that even as we go through various media and we're listening, trying to figure out what's going on, we have got to hear Holy Spirit, and we have got to be discerning, because the truth is, we don't know exactly what's going on. And there are lots of people who claim they do. And really, I think right now we do know that there's a big storm going on. And we know that Trump has talked about a storm for a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the theme tonight. Going way back into like 2017, I think it was, when he was standing in the Oval Office in the White House, and started teasing out this phrase about the storm. And I just wanted to actually play that, because I think it kind of sets up. We're seeing all these assets being positioned both on the dark side and on the light side. And, it kind of just goes back to his original thing when he was talking about, a storm is coming. So let me just share this real quick. And here, play this right here.
It's a good reminder.
You'll find out. Revealing no new details about the meaning of this cryptic comment during a reception with military leaders and their spouses Thursday night.
Do you guys know what this represents?
Tell us, sir.
Maybe it's the calm before the storm.
What's the storm?
Could be the calm before the storm.
What storm is it?
You'll find out.
What's he talking about? The White House insisting President Trump never tips his hand.
We're never going to say in advance what the president's going to do.
It's unclear whether the president was just toying around, deflecting from the political storm.
Yeah, so it goes into detail, but this is, I think that, right after this, or right before it, is when he did his capitulation tour. You guys are familiar with that. They call it the submission tour.
Yeah.
And he traveled all around the world and to all the leaders. And there was unprecedented things that happened in each country he went to. I think of North Korea, the first time a president walked past the demilitarized zone, and he walked 17 steps, no more, no less, into the demilitary zone, turned around, came back. And then he brought Kim Jong-il into our country for, you know, into this, not our country, but into South Korea for a few steps. And unprecedented, you know, the things that he did. But there, even there's this one dance. I want to show you guys this one. This one's pretty good. You guys are familiar
Arabians?
With this.
This did
the, yeah.
The yeah. sword dance.
That was
so this is the thing, is that Trump actually retweeted this himself. So up to this point, some of these Q posts and these videos that we're seeing, they were all, you know, just people made them fan posts. But he actually retweeted this himself, which that's a big deal. There's he actually made two references to Q this week.
Says we are witnessing.
The destruction of the old guard.
Yeah.
And
there's
this
sound
is
at the going- bottom on that. Yeah.
So he receives the highest Saudi honor.
Yeah.
And this occurred after Trump's world tour. So he has visited Saudi Arabia and he applauded bin Salman as because he arrested and detained corrupt members of the Saudi ruling family. And this was what happened right after Trump made that storm comment.
Yeah. In the Vatican.
Let's just talk about it because this is the music is just music. So yeah, here he is in front of the EU. In each situation, it seems like they each submitted to him as president, submitted to him as a world leader. But there were some very unprecedented things that happened when he visited the Vatican, when he visited North Korea, when he visited London.
That's right, with the Queen.
Mm-hmm. With the Queen.
Yeah. Stepped in front of her. She let him go.
You met the Pope.
Yeah, we're finding,
after blasting him.
That's right, the Pope. And we're finding out a lot about this storm. I mean, Trump is the one person who can navigate through the storm because his opposition to the elite, which was on this capitulation tour, has made him the creator of the storm. And that was six months. It was quite a while ago. These people in the Luciferian cabal mafia are many of the people that he visited, and they are very powerful. They're very smart. And I think the fact that he tweeted or he truth probably on his Truth Social platform, this sword dance again this week, it says that he is taking out evil and embedded systems of the global elite. And he understands the zero-sum game, and he has his head in the game. So he is not on the defense, even though he's may look like he's stuck in New York. He is definitely riding the storm. And we talked about riding the storm, didn't we, before we came on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a couple more points here. Look at this. Melania and his daughter are both look like they're dressed for a funeral when they went to the Vatican. And Trump always wears a red tie and he's wearing a black tie. And look, this guy looks like he's at a funeral. I mean,
yeah,
the Pope.
He didn't look too happy.
No, yeah. Not too happy at all. And then he was allowed to walk in and into the sacred center of the sumo wrestling and hand the trophy, which that's never happened before. He walked obviously across the demilitarized zone with Kim Jong-il and visits China as well, Beijing.
Yeah, the Forbidden City, which they don't have foreigners going to that for that.
India submitted. Interesting. A lot of these countries are the BRICS nations, India, Brazil.
Yeah. That was Modi, Argentina. President Modi of India. Mm-hmm. And he had over 100,000 people when he visited India. He had 100,000 people in a huge stadium with Modi. And they just loved Trump. So yeah, it was the biggest probably gathering he's ever been at.
Yep. And then here's the Queen. If you remember, Both in both situations, he walked in front of the king, walked in front of Prince Charles, and he walked in front of the queen, which is like a no-no. Like, then Russia did this really odd thing. They gave him a soccer ball and said, "The ball's in your court, Mr. President." And then he gave that ball to his son.
You know, right on that ball, I wanted to just interject right there. I was listening last week to Elijah Streams, and they had Derek Johnson, who is really big on the military law manuals and things like that. And he was talking about how Ukraine was all scripted, and that, you know, President Trump always said, "Hey, I didn't start any new wars. I didn't start any new wars," but he basically took the ball, and Putin is the one that went to war with Ukraine to get those biochemical labs exposed and taken out. So there was some sort of coordination. And so some people believe that that soccer ball is with regards to what was going to be happening, which was the Ukraine getting rid of the bio labs.
Well, and some people surmise that there might've been some files, like a jump drive in that soccer ball as well.
Never know.
Never know. The swamp submitted this, this very odd thing happened at the funeral of Bush Sr. And they all got envelopes, and she look at how Barbara Bush showed, not Barbara Bush. What's his wife's name?
That Jeb Bush's wife? I'm not sure.
Yeah, Jeb Bush was shown what it was.
That's,
it was
like you saw George Laura W. Bush.
Yeah, Laura Bush and George W.
Laura.
And then it keeps going on, but it just shows that there's something significant going on, and that causes, you know, the people's president. And then if you go back to his initial speech about, you know, from now on, things are changing and we're going to put the hands of the power of the pack to the people. So there's all of this talk, a big talk about a shifting of how it's been and the destruction of the old guard. And then, of course, where we go one, we go all. So Trump, you know, he showed this, you know, on his own, on Truth Social.
Yeah.
Which that's significant. You know, he hasn't done a lot of that content, you know?
Yeah. No, that is significant when it gets quoted, especially the where we go on, where we go all, you know, that's a direct, you know, tie to Q.
Yeah. I think he's reminding the people to keep their heart on, to keep in courage, to stay positive, that he isn't under a storm, but that he's bringing the storm. The storm is upon us, and he wants us to ride the storm. Even as you rode that storm in the opening GoPro video that you showed, Ron. And that has to do with all of us need to stay positive. If you start getting depressed, we're going to be getting pretty hot here in the country. And we need to know that that taking our country back is going to cost something as far as courage. It's going to mean we're going to need to say no. We're going to need to stand up to things that are evil. We're going to need to make some noise about that which we do not want. And that's what Wake the Bear is all about, is making some noise. But we need to make sure we don't get into some sort of fatigue. And I think this video was just a really good, it's like a shot in the arm, a good shot in the arm, like a vitamin B12 shot and not the other kind. So I think it's important that we keep encouraging one another. And that's what our show wants to do, is say, be of good courage. It's the Hazak of Joshua 1:3 as he goes into the nation, to the promised land. And God has told him through Moses, Hazak, be of good courage, be strong and very courageous. And that's really what we need to be in the months before the election. We're 6 months away, aren't we?
Yes.
Yep. And it will be heating up. And if we expect it and we're prepared for it, everything should be good. And this is what we need. We really do need this. People need to change. I know we're going to show in a little while some of the people that are opening their eyes, and it's just, it's a very encouraging. What do you got here?
Here's the other storm reference.
So loud. Donald was listening. Sleepy Don. I kind of like that. I may use that again. Of course,
The 2024 election is in full swing. And yes, age is an issue. I'm a grown man running against a six-year-old. Speaking of history, you hear what Donald just said about the major Civil War battle? Oh, Gettysburg. Wow. Trump's speech was so embarrassing, the statue of Robert E. Lee surrendered again. I had a great stretch since the State of the Union. Well, Donald has had a few tough days lately. You might call it stormy weather. What the hell?
Yeah, so he makes that reference to kind of make, you know, I think that they're, you know, they're trying to, I think they're actually really scared. And you, I mean, he's talking about how embarrassing Trump's speech is, but you listen to the guy, he's got a scripted information that he's supposed to talk about, and he can barely form the sentences together.
He sounded like he was intoxicated to me. Biden did, but regardless, that stormy weather was a reference to Stormy Daniels. And we know that that is not anything other than election interference. Yeah, and the prosecution that started with, I think there might be some new witnesses coming forward about her situation. So we'll wait and see on that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really, like we mentioned last week, you can't get a worse statement against Stormy Daniels, you know, as her ex lawyer is willing to, you know, speak on behalf of Trump. That's just, you can't make this stuff up, you know. I found that very encouraging. Still do.
Yeah.
You know, people are scrambling. People, you know, they're scrambling and they're trying to cut their losses. And they're like, you know what? I know this ship's going down and I want to get off it. And I'll speak, you know, why else? I mean, you know, President Trump never said anything kind about Michael Avenatti, you know, and Michael Avenatti seems to be saying, hey, I would speak. And apparently he was talking to the Trump team, even that he would speak in this case on behalf defending President Trump's actions. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, he's currently in jail still. So I'm sure he'd like to get out and have a little testimony there.
Yeah. So. I wonder if he's trying to barter with that. Hey, if you get me out, you know, but
yeah. So the storm is here. We have 6 months left until the 2024 presidential election. We can hear the clock ticking. I mean, it's running down. And so we can expect that things are going to get a little lively in the days ahead because something has got to shift. And we know it's a zero sum game. So Trump is going forward and he is getting record setting crowds. And each survey that is taken shows that he has a bigger and bigger lead. So our guess is that there's going to be some sort of false flag, some sort of sign of violence, some sort of economic instability, energy weapon, something that is going to disrupt things, whether it's election interference or cheating or fraud or trying to eliminate the election altogether. These are things we should be watching for and not surprised by, because the opposition, which is not people, it's really the cabal, the Luciferian system, the democratic radical Marxists, they are wanting to see Trump go away, and they want to further their one world government, one world order, Marxist agenda.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
And well, there's here's an interesting reference. There's actually, going back to the kind of the storm concept, we have these major storms, tornadoes in Nebraska, if you remember. And check out some of this footage here. There you go through the, and so people have seen this already, but this guy here on Into Thin Air, he talks about how if on the radar you can actually see pulsating lines in the charging the atmosphere And what you're seeing happen is that if you'll watch this, they'll see this. He scrolls in tight on it. There's a lot. There's like a see that pulsating line.
Yeah.
And
yeah, basically saying they're charging the atmosphere ahead of severe weather. They knew some severe weather pattern was coming. And then he's a weather watcher. He's an independent watcher and researcher. And he picked up on these pulsations on the radar pictures.
Yeah. If you want to go see these in detail, you can go to, and we know from today actually, and this guy's stuff is on there, or you can just see these videos right on X as well. But it's interesting. It just reminds you that the coming climate emergency power grab that they have coming up, that they're now preferring they want the media to call it a climate emergency or a climate. What is it? National climate emergency. And they're talking about or a climate crisis is another term they're using. And they want everybody to call it that, because if there's a climate crisis, then the president, the current resident, can seize power and he can actually have COVID-like emergency powers, which is very interesting. Because if you look, and I want to show you this, I just got this from a friend last night that said that the Airbnb is creating a brand new major disruptive events policy on their website, and that this is actually going to show. And I'll show you this real quick. This is actually on their website right now. Major disruptive events policy, and after June 6th of 2024. This is the new policy for cancellations based on major events like what is covered, a declared public health emergency or epidemic, right? Governmental travel restrictions. Why would there be governmental travel restrictions imposed by a government agency such as an evacuation order? This does not include non-binding travel advisories and similar government guidance. Military actions and other hostilities, acts of war, hostilities, invasion, civil war, terrorism, explosions, bombings, rebellions, riots, and insurrection. So it sounds like Airbnb got a word on the new summer of love coming up this summer.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Yes. Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, I think we're okay until June 6th, because it sounds like they have some insider information. And we know that we've seen evidence of the large tornadoes. They're just not normal that have been going through. And what you brought up, Brandon, that is significant. I'm just even thinking that about 10 days ago, Trump was going to a rally in, I think it was South Carolina, and it was a severe, suddenly this severe storm came in, and there were, they were showing pictures, and he called from his Trump airplane, you know, whether it's Trump Air Force One or whatever that is.
Force One.
And they broadcast it across where people were waiting for him to land and come in and give his speech. This was April 20th, I think, in South Carolina. And he said, the weather people have said there's an extreme weather condition and it is not safe for us to rally together. And he said, I am so sorry, but I don't want to put you in danger. So I'm asking you to seek shelter like a good leader would. Go home. And I promise you, I will be back and we'll do this thing again when the weather is good. And that was right. You know, I'm wondering if that was a weather manipulation. And you were talking about, Brandon, that you had heard that 9 years ago there CBS was talking about weather manipulation from a physicist.
Yeah, talk this to guy us about right that. Here.
Check this out. Anything about it. Well, instead of doing a rain dance, we physicists are firing trillion-watt lasers into the sky to actually precipitate rain clouds and actually bring down lightning bolts.
Go ahead.
Well, this fascinates me in part because, too, I remember reading the stories that China had used this during the Olympics, that the USSR had used this after Chernobyl to create rain clouds. I mean, did those really work then? We have some of these capabilities now?
Inconclusive. Even in the 60s, the CIA used this to bring down monsoons during the Vietnam War, to at the Viet Cong. Governments have been playing with this thing.
Alleged to, right. Alleged now, to. We realize
that for decades now, these governments have been alleged to have experimented with weather control, but nothing conclusive. This time we're bringing in the laws of physics rather than simply waving our hands and uttering mumbo jumbo. We're actually using trillion watt lasers now. And in the laboratory, sure enough, they precipitate rain out of water vapor. Sure enough, you can actually bring down electricity down the beam. Firing trillion watt lasers, you rip apart the electrons, creating what are called ions. And these ions act like seeds, like dust particles, bringing down rain and even lightning.
There you go.
Can you believe that? Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then if you go to like DARPA and some of these websites, the government website, they're talking about this technology that they've had it for years. They've been using it. I mean, you got to stick your head in the sand if you actually think that those planes that do back and forth traces and then create lines and then do it this way. I mean, you can watch the actual flight tracker and you can see planes that did that. What are they doing that for?
Yeah. Well, they've already admitted it. I mean, I remember seeing a video with Bill Gates talking about actually sulfuric acid, of all things, putting in the sky. And it was a night host that was interviewing him, just making jokes like, oh, I shouldn't be worried. Sulfuric acid coming out of the sky. And, you know, Bill Gates laughing. And you know, what could possibly go wrong? Sulfuric acid coming out of the sky. You know, I mean, it was really not a very complimentary interview, but it you know, he was out there saying that. And, you know, there is a movie called The Dimming, and it's by geoengineeringwatch.org. Dane, I forgot his last name. But anyway, he puts it on, and it I watched it, and there's a section where Lyndon B. Johnson is talking about controlling weather, and that who can control the weather can really control the world, because it'd be a great military advantage, and you can create famines and all kinds of things. And so, you know, that was way back then. I'm thinking Lyndon B. Johnson, my gosh, it's right after Kennedy, you know? And so, you know, what has happened since then with the advent of computers and sensors and all, you know, the Internet of Things? Are you kidding? You know, we can do it. Yep. And so anyway, it's definitely here, and it's just a matter of catching them. And the problem is, you know, you can't follow the plane. It lands in a military base, and, you know, you got to get air traffic permission to tailgate a plane, right? And so, but they have, I mean, even in that movie, The Dimming, they would have a little laboratory plane going into those vapor trails, and they stick the, you know, a little biplane, and they'd stick their hand out with a test tube, and they would fly through this spray, and they would catch it, and then they put it right into the computer, and it would analyze, and they, you know, they were finding aluminum and barium and things like that. So, I mean, it's, there's no question about it. And so anyway, some storms are man-made. You know, one storm that's been happening this week is the immunity storm.
Yes.
You know, with the Supreme Court. And actually I had a couple clips. They were questioning, you know, what just, well, let me just play some of these questions, but like the Supreme Court's a little apprehensive about going forward with this. And I think what they're trying to do, it seems like they're almost building a case. Like, we shouldn't really go down this path. And so let me just show a couple. I have a couple things queued up, so let me just go with that. Here we go.
Pandora's box. It's going to open up Pandora's
final
box here.
Sort of a set of questions that I have to do with what I do take as a very legitimate concern about prosecutorial abuse, about future presidents being targeted for things that they have done in office. I take that concern. I think it's a real thing. But I wonder whether some of it might also be mitigated by the fact that existing administrations have a self-interest in protecting the presidency, that they understand that if they go after the former guy, soon they're going to be the former guy, and they will have created precedent that will be problematic. So I wonder if you might comment on whether some of the caution from the Justice Department and the prosecutors and whatnot comes from an understanding that they will soon be former presidents as well.
So, I mean, right there. So she is really concerned, and you know, Ketanji Brown Jackson. She's really cautious about prosecuting Trump because she thinks it's going to bleed over to other presidents. And so I found that that was really concerning for her. And then just to go a little bit more, we got Clarence Thomas. And he, let me just play him real quick. This is off of Ann Wynette.
Been prosecuted for orchestrating coups and carrying out attacks against civilians.
Over in not so distant past, the presidents or certain presidents have engaged in various activity, coups or operations like Operation Mongoose when I was a teenager. And yet there were no prosecutions. Why? If what you're saying is right, it would seem that that would have been ripe for criminal prosecution of someone.
So Justice.
So he's asking, you know, why haven't these past ones been? And he talked about Operation Mongoose. Mm-hmm. Now, Operation Mongoose, I did look that up, and that was during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And it's basically CIA operations in Cuba just creating havoc. And in fact, I don't know if I know I don't have that on Wikipedia. But yeah, it goes through the whole thing. They did all these covert operations. And so, you know, we have no business doing that in other countries. The last thing I wanted to show is this was, I thought, absolutely brilliant. This was the Trump attorney and he's bringing some things out to light here.
Check this out.
The implications of the court's decision here extend far beyond the facts of this case. Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike? Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for his border policies?
So I just thought that was brilliant because these are things that need to be brought out into the open, and they just did. And it was for all to see. I think that was on C-SPAN. And so people are like, what? Obama did something, a drone strike and killed innocent civilians? I thought he was, you know, scandal free. And oh, George W. Bush, I do remember about weapons of mass destruction. And here they're bringing this out. They're bringing these things out. And then of course, Biden, everybody's upset about the immigration policy or whatever you want to call it, you know, policy. Come one, come all. And I mean, it's tearing the country apart. They're like, what is going on? It doesn't make any sense. And so they're saying, hey, this could possibly be criminal. And, you know, so I thought that was really, neat to see this defense attorney putting all this out for people to hear. So brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I mean, we could go on and on. I mean, what about Hillary Clinton bleach biting her computer and hitting it with a hammer and destroying evidence that she was subpoenaed to give over to Congress? So yeah. It goes on and on as far as immunity. I think it'll be really interesting because I think Jack Smith, his cases are beginning to unravel, and there's a storm coming against Jack Smith. I mean, he really is not likely to get a ruling for the Supreme Court right now to not have immunity. So I'm pretty sure that we'll see that this gets cleared up pretty fast as far as the Jack Smith document case.
And I don't think Trump needs this. I don't know if it's immunity, but to have the immunity taken away to go after Obama and stuff, I think they can get him for plenty of other things. So I don't think it will be part of a master plan like, oh, I'm going to have immunity taken away and then I'm going to use it against Biden. I think he can get them with other stuff. We'll see.
It'll just make his case stronger when he does turn around and start to prosecute. I mean, traitorous acts, when that stuff comes out, you know, when you act as a traitor against your own country, you know, that's enough to work, you know, you don't get absolute immunity forever. Yeah, for treason.
Treason. I don't know if there's immunity with treason. I mean,
no.
You know, so, and that's the word he's used quite a bit on them. Mm. You know, treason, treason, treason. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think there's immunity with treason either. I know that they just released some newly unredacted documents that showed that Biden's White House did have direct ties to the surprise in that illegal Mar-a-Lago raids. So they were able to make the connections that they had not just knowledge ahead of time, but there was some encouragement of the White House to press forward with that FBI raid. And so we know, keep an eye on Trump's attorney, Alina Habba. She is bringing it. And again, she's a brilliant attorney, and she's exposing the vast corruption that's in all these Trump trials.
Yeah.
Yep. We're going to see it. It's where the storm is here, and we got this next 6 months. Months going to be really, really crazy. You know, it's interesting that happened just recently, too, is that Bill Barr, he actually came out endorsing Trump. Remember how everybody was like, lock Barr up, he's corrupt. I think that, you know, if you go back to some of the Q posts, it says, you know, misinformation is necessary. And they have this term that they use called KFAB, which is like pretending to be someone's enemy for the sake of drawing out, you know, the story or the narrative. And, you know, obviously a classic example of that is just, you know, watching professional WWF wrestling, you know. And as a kid, you watch these guys. And right.
I'll win next week.
Right. You look really acrobatic. You look really like, but I know you didn't hit him in the head. That was like a fake hit, you know? And so you get guys like Bill Barr and some of these other ones. I mean, Durham, I mean, I think that there's stuff, you know, people that okay, I'm going to take the hit, you know, and I'm going to be seen as a traitor for a while, but it's okay because it's going to come back. I'm going to draw out more of the chaos that's in all more of the darkness that's going on in the cabal, bringing to light more black hats. So it's just, you know, interesting to see how this is all going to play out and who's really who really turned against Trump and who is who actually just pretending to turn against him to draw out more.
Yeah, it all started with Trump on Truth Social after Bill Barr endorsed him. And Trump came back and he said, wow, former AG Bill Barr, who let a lot of great people down by not investigating voter fraud in our country, has just endorsed me for president, despite the fact that I called him weak, slow moving, lethargic, and lazy. And based on the fact that I greatly appreciated his wholehearted endorsement, I am removing the word lethargic from my statement. Thank you, Bill, MAGA 2024.
Oh, so that's good.
He was on CNN, and the reporter there was trying to get Bill Barr to say some things, further things against Trump. And he said, she said to Barr, well, she read this to him and wanted to have the on-camera look of
reaction
from Barr. And what Barr said was, classic Trump, what's your question? And so she basically said, well, how do you feel about it? He's mocking you. And Barr basically said, so what? It's not about me. The real threat to democracy is the Biden administration. Biden's support of progressive agenda and how our freedoms are being constrained. The progressive government is the problem. The threat to freedom and democracy has always been on the left, the collectionist socialist agenda. That's where we're losing our freedoms. People can't speak their mind without losing their jobs and things like that. It's worse than the McCarthy era, and it's not coming from the right. And so her jaw just dropped when, you know, Bill Barr, he's a master of language. He looks like, you know, a portly old grandfather. And then he comes up with these very clever comebacks.
Yeah.
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 He blew her mind. She was like, she was trying to get the aha moment. And it's interesting because it was almost like they let him on to CNN thinking that he was gonna like rip into Trump, and then he didn't. And he turned around and endorsed them on CNN. And then he said all the things they don't want him to say, which he put all the puzzle pieces together, like what you just said, Chris. And it was like, oh, no, don't do that. Wait, hold on. We're trying to create a narrative here. Don't mess up our narrative. And it was right. Because they thought, and he had us attack Trump in the past. They thought he was going to attack Trump, and he didn't. He turned around and endorsed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. There could be some really, you know, fourth or fifth level chess being played right there. I'm not sure. You know, The View periodically will get a celebrity, and they think the celebrity would be, you know, a never Trumper. And all of a sudden the celebrity's just like, nope, I am totally supporting Trump and this is why. And they just, you know, they go ballistic and they have meltdowns when that happens. And I think it's the same thing. It's almost like a plant, you know, like, hey, yeah. You know, we had some drama. They trust you. You're going to get in front of a new audience and then you're going to tell them the truth. So yeah. Anyway, that's good. That makes me happy.
Yeah. Well, we'll see which side he's on, but he stood up for Trump on CNN, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know what to believe. I was really hoping Bill Barr was going to be the man, you know, the destroyer and the B-2 bomber and all that, you know, but who knows? We'll find out at the end. There may be some day where they actually stand in a line and say, we were all in together on this. This is how you take down scumbags. You play this game and they shake hands and say, but that was good. We had a good laugh. I like the fact that you took that lethargic off. I was laughing all night, you know, or something. I'm hoping something's like that, but yeah, we'll see. You know, when I read that book, Art of the Deal, and President Trump, when he was just Donald, wheeling, dealing with other people, workers and, making deals and stuff. There were people that he was at odds with and stuff like that. And he would say, you know, even though we were at odds and all that stuff, he's actually a really good guy. You know, he would say that in his book, he's actually a really good guy. And sometimes he'd say, you know, I kind of wish I didn't go so hard on him during the time because, you know, he was good. And he would admit those things, but he seemed to never hold a grudge against people that really, you know, went after him for some things. I mean, people would sue him and he'd be like, yeah, you know, even though he sued me, he's still kind of a good guy. Yeah. And, you know, it's just like, wow, different kind of person. I guess that's a New Yorker or something.
Yeah. Water off a duck's back. And it was funny because the same interview, they were trying to get Bill Barr to talk about the hush money case and what Trump had committed, his crimes. And he basically said there wasn't any crime. They're trying to manufacture one. This is a case clearly going after the man. It is not a crime. There's no crime here. There's no crime. Hush money is not a crime. He says it's a non-disclosure agreement. And that's not a crime, even if you're running for office. There's no crime here. And they're trying to manufacture one. So just a reminder to us that is quite often when there's they're trying the non-disclosure agreements is something that businesses do quite often. And as a businessman, that's right. It's very commonly used. And so they're trying to make it something that it's not.
Yeah. Yep. Good stuff. Well, good stuff.
Here's one that's interesting that happened this week. And I'll share this with you. This was Matt Gaetz on here. And he's pointing out that David Sachs says Zelensky announces that the Ukraine is working on a security agreement with the United States that will fix level of support for the next 10 years.
Oh my God.
The $61 billion that was just the beginning. The next two U.S. presidents won't be able to switch it off. And Matt Gaetz puts it here. They want you paying for Ukraine forever.
Yeah.
And that's really the reality. And this money is just being poured. I think, Chris, you did some research this week, and the amount of money we spent so far is the cost that we spend per one whole year on the Marine Corps, I think you said. The amount of money that we spent in Ukraine is the amount of money that we spent for an entire year for the United States Marine Corps.
Yeah, Rand Paul was before the vote was taken, he was talking and sharing about this. And he said, this is a bill talking about the spending, the foreign spending bill. This is a bill about Ukraine first. And there's no money to give Ukraine. It's not like we have a honeypot. He said, we don't have any surplus. There is no rainy day fund. The money will be printed up or borrowed from China to send to Ukraine. And it only makes us weaker. Nothing for America and everything for Ukraine. And so, yes, it's more than we spend on the entire Marine Corps in a year.
Wow. Well, you know, if Donald Trump gets in, when he gets in, you know, he's good at bankruptcies and things like that. I mean, that's part of business, and you can really strategize with that. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's an option as well. I don't know if that'll go through. I hope it doesn't.
Yeah. Now, did you notice the storm that's even though that he's stuck in New York? He's not staying under the storm. He's riding the storm out campaigning in New York. Did you see all those things?
Oh, yeah. He is like getting out there. He's meeting people. Did you see what the mob boss, or not the mob boss, but one of the bosses of the one of the unions said? Yeah, I did a poll with my union, and 2 out of 3 people are going to be voting for Trump from my union. And he's got like a union of like thousands and thousands of workers, and everybody on the street's like, oh yeah, we'll vote for Trump, man. You know, like, it's great. And you got blue collar workers saying this, you've got white collar workers saying this, you got people in the Bronx, people in the hood, all of the people are waking up right now.
Yeah, they definitely are. You know what, let me play a little bit of that, because Fox News did some good coverage of that. I got 3 clips.
The union vote, and you're here in New York City, you're talking with these members. Do you think you can maybe change some of their minds if they were lifelong Democrats to vote for you?
I think these maybe were Democrats, but for me, they're a Republican. There's not a Democrat in there. These are people. Look at that building. Look what we can do. We built a lot of great buildings in the city with these people, and they've given me great support. They're really amazing. You know what? They're very, very talented people. They don't get the credit for it. They have very few people can do what they do. We used to do 3 floors a week in concrete, and it was guys like this that did it. So it's very amazing.
So he really, you know, he does some compliments there. He's, you know, he worked with those people. I mean, he really literally worked with them. Here's another one that you were talking about, the union, Brandon.
People show up to meet him.
It's was great to see the president come and engaging with the blue collar worker of New York City. We basically built New York. The union movement has made the middle class. And we are very patriotic union, and we are pro-America. So my members right now, I put out a poll in my union. President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members right now. We are very tired of the situation with groceries, inflation, gas prices, illegal immigration, crime. We're living it every day in New York City.
So is there pressure from union heads to vote a certain way?
Well, yeah, I'm probably going to get a lot of phone calls after this interview. But like I've told other people, I don't work for my international union. I work for my members. I represent my members. And I wish every politician that was elected to any office would remember they work for their constituents that vote for them. They don't work for themselves.
Wow. So that was some really good words there.
He said 3-1 out of 20,000. Was that right? Or I think 3-1 out of 20,000 workers.
I think that's what he said. Yeah. 3-1.
That's amazing.
Here's one last one. And this is what he's talking about, Trump Tower, you know, and he's having people, he's basically doing like work, like UN work out of Trump Tower. So he's really taking advantage of being in New York. You know, talk about turning lemons into lemonade. This Donald Trump is the master at this. And it's just amazing what he's done. And he's obviously taking advantage of an opportunity rather than a defeat by being stuck in New York and not doing other rallies.
In New York, thanks to this sham trial, but he has found a way to use the confinement, I think, to his advantage.
Yeah, Laura, look, if the prosecutor's goal was to lock him down, Trump has outfoxed them. In between his courtroom visits, Trump has created these pop-up campaign events in Atlanta, in New York, in Harlem, reaching constituencies far beyond his usual base. And he's turned Trump Tower into really the UN on Fifth Avenue. Just last week, he hosted the Polish president at his home base in New York. And yesterday, Laura, the former Japanese prime minister visited him. Now, this is really a brilliant strategy, and it's hardly the lockdown Alvin Bragg and company were banking on.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, how about that? So, you know, good stuff. I'm just, again, he's just a master at it. And, it's not just the union workers. I mean, I had a thing on X where, and I've been showing lately the last couple of weeks, just the black community as well in New York, and what they've been just switching over. And I want to keep playing that because I want to keep reminding people that more and more people are waking up. And I found this one encouraging as well. This was from Ultra MAGA, Steve Bannon's outfit.
Why would they be bringing in these tens of thousands of people, 20 buses a day, 1,000 more per day? Why would they be doing this? And what's your message?
The only reason that I can see that they would be doing this is to replace us.
About
and we say Trump 2024, because Trump is the only one who's going to do something about this and partner with all of America. This is where all of America has got to come together and put a stop to this. We have to send these people back where they come from, or this is going to explode violently. It's going to explode on multiple fronts. And the mayor and his governor doesn't care. And since they don't care, then we must go red. We must link up with all of America. And we care, and we have to do something about it. We're coming for every elected official that didn't step up and all those that supported this mass, wipe out of our communities. We're coming for you. By the time Trump gets ready to run in November, Chicago is going to look like a sea of red. When that Democratic National Convention get here, you're going to see so many red T-shirts that you're going to think you're in Texas.
Enough is enough. We're away to foreign nationals. No other country is going to allow us to cut in and do the same thing that's happening here.
You have American citizens of African-American descent that have built this country and built the great city of Chicago. They are the broad shoulders that have built this city, and they are being disrespected by the Biden regime, the entire Uniparty, the globalists, because now they're forcing illegal alien invaders into a city that doesn't have the resources to care for its citizens in healthcare, in education, in police protection, in economics, in anything. And now they have to bear the brunt to it. And the two gutless, these progressive whites that run this deal, are too gutless to have them in there. Just like they're not in the Upper East Side of New York or the Upper West Side, they're not out by Northwestern University.
It's something in their minds that makes them believe that they'll do this to us and we do nothing in return. This is not just for Chicago, for us. We've reached all across the country to send them a message. We're going to flip America red. We're going to send the strongest message to the Democratic Party that Black America, Black Chicago has ever seen. Black America is about to rise up. Now that we are the mothers and fathers, we're saying Trump 2024 across America. And we ask Trump to come to Chicago. Come here and walk these streets with us. And we'll...
Amen. So yeah.
Wow. That was powerful. That was. And the gal had on a t-shirt, Black Lives MAGA.
MAGA.
So I just thought that was priceless. You know what he said, what President Trump said is when he looked out over the Steam Fitters Union, which are the pipe fitters who do the HVAC systems in these big buildings, and he said, I don't see Democrats. They are all Republicans. And that to me is an attitude that we need to take with people who are beginning to wake up, who might be currently registered Democrats or even independents. And they're seeing our country go in a certain direction. We have got to look at them as potential Republicans not to think like we do, but to stand with us and not allow replacement. The whole ideology of they're going to replace us with people from outside our borders is significant. And so I just want to encourage our listeners that we need to be very careful about them, knowing that they are going to be us soon, because the storm is on us. And the storm is waking people up. And so even labeling people them, I think, needs to stop when it comes to Americans and Americans. And we right. need to rightly divide what are the issues. The issues are we all want a good economy. We all should want our borders closed so that we aren't being replaced and we aren't being driven out of town. And I think that the minority populations, especially the Blacks, are going to be significant in this election. I remember in 2020 when Black Lives Matter and Antifa was rioting and George Floyd was a big issue in our area, we didn't have riots. They tried to have a riot in Watsonville, which is a highly Hispanic, and there are lots of gangs there, a lot of it's a highly Hispanic area. And those people in Watsonville, they shut down Black Lives Matter and Antifa and drove them out of town. And there was no burning of Watsonville. They took control of the city and didn't let a foreign group come in. And I believe that same sort of thing's going to happen in the inner city in our nation coming up this summer.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. And there's a lot of things that are being revealed even now. I think was it today where it came out that AstraZeneca admitted that the myocarditis is one of the major problems with their shots, you know? So we're seeing more and more admitting that this is happening. And it blows me away that the things that we, you know, kind of many of us said from the very beginning, hey, listen, it's an experimental drugs. They haven't been tested. Don't take them. And everybody's saying, oh, they're safe and effective. And, you know, that whole scenario is going completely down the tubes. And I just saw this video today and I thought, okay, you know, we got to show this one. This is a really sad video, and talk about some next level brainwashing programming going on here. Watch this one.
How many have even heard of the medical term myocarditis prior to the experimental mRNA injections, the jab that they pushed on all of us? Answer, not many. Now commercials are warning about kids contracting this heart-scarring affliction, and it's being aired on TV.
I've been into fashion since I can remember, but one day I had a stomachache so bad I didn't want to do anything. The team at New York Presbyterian said it was actually my heart. It was severely swollen. Something called myocarditis. But doctors gave me medicines and used machines to control my heartbeat. They saved me. So now I can become the next great fashion designer.
New York Presbyterian.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
Oh,
talk about evil. I mean, just yes. Programming people. They're programming the populace to believe that myocarditis in children is normal. Oh, it's just, you know, this is something that happens to kids randomly. Like, has anybody ever heard of that before 2020? Almost nobody.
Yeah,
that's the Hegelian dialect, isn't it? Where you create the problem and then you come up with the problem. And in both situations, you're expecting someone else to pay for it. And so that is just nauseating. I mean, it is very similar to the open borders and the fentanyl problem. Too. Now it's normal. I was a paramedic, some of you may know, and we would have opiate overdoses in certain areas, but not all that common. We carried Narcan. Now every school in our state has intranasal Narcan on their campuses, expecting for the reversal. It's a it's an opiate reversal so that they can administer it. And so once again, the government opens borders at the fentanyl comes in, and then the drug agencies get to profit. Now they've sold Narcan all over the place. And it's just part of our culture, because obviously fentanyl overdoses are just everyday stuff.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of the old, you know, when I had a PC, viruses were everywhere. And, you know, you get this thing saying, hey, you need to get this protection, you know, this antivirus software. And you'd say, no, I'm not going to do it. And mysteriously, you'd start having things wrong with your computer. And you're like, what's going on? You know, it's like you infected me and you're trying to force me to buy your product. It almost seems the same thing, you know. It's interesting, yeah, too.
Business, you know what your business needs is a little protection. You know what I'm saying?
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Your computer needs a little protection.
Uncle Vinny.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's the same people. I mean, you think about it, you know, Bill Gates, right? He's, you know, computer viruses, and now he's with human viruses. And yeah, interesting. I guess that's a business model.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's a very successful business model, and hopefully we'll see quite a few pharmaceutical companies have to pay for what they have put on the people of the world. Yeah. And you know, I know we're almost out of time, but I did want to bring up the problem with the anti-Semitism, because it is it is just unbelievable how it is increasing. And I know that USC, they canceled their graduation as a result of the pro-Palestinian protesters setting up camps. We know it started at Columbia University, and then it's gone to University of Texas and gone to quite a few places. And we've talked a little bit about it. But I wanted to bring up the fact that just yesterday, I follow Sam Faddis, who has a Substack called And Magazine. And something significant is beginning to shift, and we need to be watching what's shifting as the election comes closer. Yesterday, the pro-Hamas protesters, they actually went off the campus, and it was the first off-campus protest, and they occupied Jackson Square in New Orleans. And so that's an important and significant event, because it's not a college campus. New Orleans police, they moved in quickly and they broke up the encampment. But then social media documented it through a group that was observing what were the police doing, called the National Lawyers Guild. Well, I want to just tell you who the National Lawyers Guild is. And they're bad-mouthing the police for breaking it up. They are one of the major participants who funded Antifa and Black Lives Matters in their movement during the 2020 George Floyd burning of cities. They go back to the 30s, and they've always been anti-Israel. They go back to Germany, and they impose revolutionary communist government. That's what they want for the citizens of the United States. They are a pro-communist, pro-Marxist institution and organization that wants to stir up trouble. So they're not new. They are as old as the McCarthyism and before that. And so right now they're arguing that the terrorist attacks of October 7th were justified. And these, again, were on civilians. Remember, there are 1,200 civilians that were killed and over 3,500 that were seriously wounded and over 230 hostages that were taken. This group says that these terrorist attacks were justified and that terrorists were simply exercising their fundamental rights to self-defense and to liberate their land and the people around them from occupation and colonialism. So I want you to be aware, keep your eyes on that organization. They do support the Houthis in Yemen and the Ayatollahs in Tehran and many Islamic radicals. And they are probably among those that were on the University of Texas in Austin that were not Most of those people were not students or faculty that they arrested. They just arrested 69 from that group. And it's like, where are all the students? Where are all the faculty? Who are these people? Well, this is part of the color revolution that is trying to be stirred up in our nation. We need to be aware of it. We need to determine not to be manipulated, and we need to shut this thing down now. Mm-hmm. So not that I have an opinion about this, but keep your eyes on it, because this is not just on college campuses anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, definitely. It's the same as the color revolution we saw in Ukraine. You know, they explained that in the Ukraine on Fire. You know, they had the cameras and they were saying, hey, what did the police do? You know, can we get them up, you know, against the police? Anyway, yeah. See the pattern.
Well, and the thing is that here is that these, you know, the Hamas, the Houthis, these are terrorist organizations. The definition of this that you put in here, Chris, is that the unlawful use of violence or threats to intimidate or coerce a civilian population or government with the goal of furthering political, social, or ideological objectives. That is the definition of terrorists. And that's exactly what Hamas is. That's what some of these people who are doing these acts of violence in America now, these are not just, this is not Dr. Martin Luther King's, you know, peaceful marches, silent marches, not speaking a word of profanity, not, you know, this is nothing like that. You know, BLM was nothing like that. I mean, Dr. Martin Luther King showed how to resist tyranny by using peaceful means of non-compliance, and that's not what's going on in these university campuses. I mean, these are Soros bot organizers who are organizing it. Did you see the actual picture of one of the encampments? All the tents are the exact same color. They're the exact.
Oh yeah.
Somebody purchased all the tents.
Oh, yeah.
For these kids. Yeah. Right, and then they're finding these people, and they're finding out that they're getting paid by George Soros and by the Soros Open Society Foundation. These are not, you know, what they're trying to say is these are actually like spontaneous protests. And no, they are very organized, very well funded radicals that are being. Here's an article actually here on New York Post that talks about the very well funded group, and I'm going to post this. We'll show this real quick. And here's some of the faces of some of these paid protesters in Cal Berkeley. This is paid protesters. These are all paid protesters that these guys are finding as they're actually doing investigation. So, you know, this whole perspective that somehow this is a peaceful resistance.
Or organic. Yeah, organic. Like it's an organic student. They just want to exercise their rights to say, we don't like this. Believe me, it is not just pro-Palestinian anymore. It is anti-Jewish. It is pro-Hamas. So there's a lot of difference between pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas. So when they say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. They have one thing in mind, and that is to wipe out everybody who is not a Palestinian and take over that land from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, which is the area that is currently occupied by Israel. So it's a radical slogan calling for the destruction of the state of Israel and the establishment of a Palestinian state in its place. And it's anti-Semitic. It's anti-Zionist ideology that calls for jihad against Jews and also whites. We as Christians remember what happened to Corrie ten Boom during World War II and the Nazi invasion. Those who stand with the Jews, the Christians, and we need to stand with the Jews. They were persecuted and put in concentration camps too. They were called white supremacists. And if you don't think we are the next in line because we disagree with the pro-Palestinian protesters, we're deceiving ourselves. So just a heads up, we need to nip this thing in the bud now.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I've actually got a real hard stop. Do you want to end the show? And if you want to go a couple more minutes, I've already pushed my business meeting, my work. So I got a day job.
Yeah, no. Well, we can wrap it up. We'll end it with this. You know, here's a guy that says, you know, this is weird. I did a search of Israel in the Noble Quran and found 47 verses. A search of Palestine yielded zero hits. It's as if the Jews are the indigenous people that the land, even according to the Noble Quran. So it's interesting, you know, whether the state of Israel is actually Jewish is one thing, but the fact that you know, even in the Quran, they don't have the phrase Palestine in there is interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the storm is definitely on us. Remember to ride the storm, because this is the time when things need to get shaken up. And in order to change things, in order to get things back or even better, we need to be willing to stand up, say no to evil, and we need to have a heart of courage and ride out this storm.
Amen. And Amen. No matter what the problem is, Jesus Christ is the answer, the way, the truth, and the life. And
that's right.
Patriots are becoming Christians.
That conflict.
And Christians are becoming patriots, and we're seeing a shift in our country, and it's really good. So God bless you. Thanks for joining us tonight on Wake the Bear Radio. Good night.
Good night.